For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
This evening we're looking at We Have Been Made Righteous in Christ. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for his wonderful provision that he was made a ransom for us. And Lord, we praise you, Lord, for that. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Continue in our lives now as we walk in the paths of righteousness. Help us to see clearly your ways, that we may fear you and honour you in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at We Are Made Righteous in Christ. And this doctrine comes directly against something that I hear actually quite commonly on videos made by people and in writings and so on. And the false doctrine goes like this. Yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm still a sinner. And sadly, that goes against the very work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's actually a blasphemous doctrine. We've got to face that. It's a blasphemous doctrine because it goes against the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that man without God is in a lost and filthy state spiritually. We won't turn to it. In the book of Ephesians it says that we are dead in trespasses and sins if we don't have Christ. Dead means separated by sin. And our trespasses, going against what the Lord has said, is held against us because of the judgment that's on sin. We don't want to go right through all of that. But we do need to make clear that man without God is in a lost and filthy state spiritually. Now, God's righteousness is needed as a gift because man cannot earn such a thing. If you think about it, the Bible says by the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. Made sinners, that's the nature, servants of sin. So by the disobedience of Adam, their nature was changed because all of mankind was in Adam. And he's the representative of mankind. And so everything that came out of Adam had the same nature as Adam. And so many were made sinners, and the Bible talks about the obedience of one, many were made righteous. And we're going to see this. Let's have a look at Isaiah 64, verses 5 to 9. Now, righteousness is right standing with God in his holy will. So God looks upon the righteous as not as sinners, not as servants of sin, but as servants of righteousness. Now, there is a video sermon that is going on the website called Those That Sow Righteousness. And if you think about it, those who are sinners are not sowing righteousness. Okay, they're sowing iniquity. They're sowing sin, because they are servants of sin. Now we're looking at Isaiah 64, starting from verse 5, and we'll go to verse 9 in Isaiah 64, 5 to 9. Now it says, "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned." So where's the wrath of God directed? At sin, isn't it? Okay? And of course, in the ultimate state, the wrath of God is poured out in hell. There are many scriptures show that. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So you can see the man without God, outside of salvation, is in a very bad state. Okay, they have their own righteousness. They're trusting in their own good works and so-called good nature. But in God's eyes, it's as filthy rags. Verse 7, and there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us. Why? The Bible says, because of our iniquities. So that tells us he cannot work towards heaven to get yourself righteous, because God has hidden his face from those who are in that unrighteous state. Can you see that? It's very important. But now, verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. Now, how is that possible? Well, he's got to do a work in us, doesn't he? And he says it here, we are the clay and thou art our potter. And we are all are the work of thy hand. So unless God steps in and does a work, we can't call him Father, we can't be righteous. Can you see that? Verse 9, be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. So you can see that the only way we can come to righteousness is through a work done by God, as him being the potter and we being the clay. So a life centred around the will of God is what will abide forever. And this is important for us to understand what's going to go into the future forever. That's a life centred around the will of God in his righteousness. Look at 1 John 2, verse 17. So mankind needs to stand righteously before God, not in that filthy rags. And God has to step in because, as we saw before, we can't reach up to God. He's too far above man in the dead in trespasses and sins. It must be God himself that does a work and stands in for us. And that's, of course, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, so that we can stand righteously before God. 1 John 2 verse 17 is an important one to see what will last forever in God's sight. What will last forever. It says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. So the world we know is, as we said, dead in trespasses and sins, and the Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. The world's going to pass away. So everything attached to the world, are you of the world, or are you of the kingdom of God? If we're of the kingdom of God, that's not going to pass away. That's going to go on forever. It says, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How can you do the will of God if you're dead in trespasses and sins, and you're a servant of sin, and your righteousnesses are as filthy rags? Well, you're not doing the will of God, are you? You have to come to Christ so that he can do a work in you, and then, as the scriptures say, you are created unto good works. So then you can be a person who is sowing, as the Bible says, sowing righteousness. So listen to that sermon when it comes up. Have a look at Acts 3:16-19. You see, the work that has to be done is that our sins have to be dealt with. And when you come to Christ, your sins are dealt with. All right? Your sins are blotted out. You get changed. You were a servant of sin, but you become a servant of righteousness. It's a different thing. Your nature changes. You become a new creature in Christ, as the Bible tells us. All of this is not difficult to understand, but remember, if it's not preached and taught, people think along the wrong lines. Oh, because I've failed in this area, I'm still a sinner. Is that your spiritual nature? Not if you're a born-again Christian. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You have a pure, righteous heart. But you do need to have your soul obviously renewed, and you do need to have your body trained and subjected to the Lord and presented as a living sacrifice to God. Have a look at Acts 3:16-19. There's some very important statements in here. Acts 3:16-19. And it says here, and his name, through faith in his name, talk about Jesus, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Okay, so let's just pause there. He suffered in our place, didn't he? He took our sins upon himself. Okay, he went to hell for us and rose from the dead for us. This is all the gospel. That's what it says in verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. That talks about change. Change in the inner man. That your sins may be blotted out. So be clear on this. Your sins before the Lord are blotted out. How? By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Where's the Lord? So do you want, if you come to Christ, you want your sins to be blotted out. That's the only way you can, because he suffered for us. He suffered for us. If you look at Romans 3, we'll have a look at a few verses in Romans. Romans talks a lot about this area of, judgment on sin, but also the fact of righteousness for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Romans 3 and verse 10, first of all. Let's look at that, Romans 3:10. As it is written, we'll look at 10 and 11. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Okay, so all have been pronounced guilty. All have been pronounced guilty before the Lord. And that's why it says there is none righteous, no, not one. So as far as God is concerned, in Adam the whole of mankind was then separated from him. But God had a plan from the creation of the earth, from the creation onwards. He had a plan before creation. And that plan was that there would be a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So people without God, they need God, but they're in darkness. God needs, by his love, to step in, by his love and kindness, to step in and show man the way. Okay, so none righteous, no, not one. And then if you go to verses 21 to 23 of chapter 3 here, it says, but now, The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, so that's the right standing that we can have in God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's why there is none righteous, no, not one, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's only by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe that they can have the righteousness of God. Let me read verse 22 again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them. Does it say full stop there? No, it doesn't, does it? That believe. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to receive him as your Saviour. You've got to acknowledge that you have sinned, that you are a sinner, that you are in a desperate, fallen state, and there is none righteous, no, not one, including yourself. When you come to Christ, something happens. The potter does a work. You are the clay. He does a work. He changes you. And he imputes, which means he gives to you his righteousness, because he's taken that sin, even though the Lord Jesus Christ was pure and never sinned. It was he was our substitute. Praise the Lord. Look at Romans 5. Go to Romans 5. And look at verse 17. Romans 5. Verse 17. Well, we'll look at verse 17 down to 19 of Romans 5. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, obviously talking about Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace, all right, what God provides, and of the gift of righteousness, notice the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Let me pause there. If you're a servant of sin, you're not reigning in life the way God wants you to reign in life. The only way you can reign in life by one Jesus Christ is that you have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus, of course, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That free gift, righteousness, of course, it's eternal life. And verse 9, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, we mentioned that before, and that's their nature, as sinners, servants of sin, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus, shall many be made righteous. They don't stay sinners. It's a perplexing thing to understand why any Christian would say, well, I'm still a sinner. Because by the obedience of one Jesus Christ, many be made righteous. Have you been made righteous? If you've been made righteous, then you've received what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. That free gift of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you can reign in life now. See, when you have a sinner type mentality, it's very hard to reign in life because you're not thinking victory. Your soul is not going to be renewed. You're not going to be thinking along the lines of, what has God made me? I give glory to him. How can I live for him? You're going to be thinking, well, I can't live for him because I'm falling down, I'm a sinner, and you know, why should I even bother, because I'm just like any old person off the street. But you're not. You've been changed. You've been made righteous. You can reign in life. Praise the Lord. You can reign in life. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6 has quite a lot in it. Romans 6, we'll start from verse 11 and go to verse 14. I suggest you read Romans 6 for yourself, right through. But this talks about the work that God has done in our life, and also how we are to live now. Are we to live as sinners, serving sin? Or to live as the righteous, serving righteousness, which is serving the Lord? Well, let's see. So in verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That means separate from sin. You know, it doesn't have a part of you. Well, if you're calling yourself a sinner, how can you be dead indeed unto sin? Makes no sense, does it? It's a blasphemous doctrine. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. That sounds like a person who's not bound by sin. Can you see that? Because their mortal body is submitted to God. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments, what, of sin? Or what is it? What's it say? As instruments of righteousness unto God. So now that you've been made righteous, you should be yielding your members as instruments for the Master's use, of righteousness unto God. Verse 14. Now this is a good one to confess, by the way. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So what do you say? Sin shall not have dominion over me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I can walk in victory. I can walk in the ways of God. I can walk in the ways and the paths of righteousness. If you look at verse 18, get into verse 18 of that same chapter. Being then made what? Free from sin. Well, let's go back to verse 17, because it talks about what a sinner is. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were, that's past tense, ye were the servants of sin. That's what a sinner is. Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What was the form of doctrine? The Bible talks about obeying the gospel. So you obeyed the gospel, which says, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Okay, so, and your sins will be blotted out. So when you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, you were a servant of sin. What happened then? Verse 18 happened. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, does that mean you stay a servant of sin? You're not a sinner anymore. You're a servant of righteousness. You might say as a Christian, well, what about that? What about last week I told a lie? It doesn't change your nature. Okay? You gave in to the devil's temptation, or you gave in to something. But what can you do? you're repenting, get cleansed from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus. And you pick yourself up in the Lord and you keep on going. Can you see what I'm saying? You are now in the family of God as a righteous person. As it says there, you became the servants of righteousness. Let's keep on going. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. If you see yourself as a sinner, it's going to be very difficult to live in holiness. Can you see that? Perhaps that's why we see such uncleanness even amongst people calling themselves Christians, because they're making all the wrong beliefs. They're taking in all the wrong beliefs and speaking all the wrong things. So what we see here is that we must yield our members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 24, when ye were, as that's past tense, when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. In other words, you weren't righteous. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You were free from righteousness. You weren't sowing righteousness either. You were sowing iniquity. I'm going to get this very clear. Verse 11, and it talks about what fruit comes out of your sowing. What fruit had ye then? That means when you were servants of sin. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Well, fruit talks of harvest, doesn't it? You must have sown something. What were you doing? As a servant of sin, you were sowing iniquity. You were sowing sin. It's as simple as that. Fruit comes out of that. The wages of sin is death. The death cycle, and so on. As a servant of righteousness, what can you now sow? Things of righteousness. You can sow righteousness. You can get good things coming into your life. This is the reality of the Christian walk. This is the reality of how we can walk in Christ. So verse 21 says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed, for the end of those things is death, being now made free from sin. He says it again. He seems to be wanting to emphasize a point, doesn't he? Okay? And I certainly cannot see how you could get the doctrine that Christians are still sinners after reading this section and many other sections of Scripture. I can't get that doctrine out of there, can you? But I can get the doctrine that we are servants of righteousness, and there has been a change, because it talks about became the servants of righteousness. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit. Now what are you sowing now as a Christian? You're sowing righteousness, aren't you? And what type of fruit have you got? Fruit talks of something that comes out of sowing, okay? You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Too many people just quote verse 23 without the whole context of chapter 6. All the other verses beforehand. So you can see that the fruit of sin is going to yield death type things. The fruit of righteousness is going to yield good, righteous things in your life, because you're a servant of righteousness now. And your desire in God is not towards sin, but towards the Lord and His ways. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you'll know that. You'll know that your desire is towards the Lord and His ways. Praise the Lord. It's also have a look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. We are made righteous in Christ. We now people walking in the paths of righteousness. We are now people that are sowing righteousness, and we now have fruits that come out of that, fruits of holiness, good fruits that come out of that, that is going to bring good things into our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This can be a real revelation for people if they take hold of this. Take hold of this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Notice what it says here. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that's talking about Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not in ourselves, but in him. We've been made the righteousness of God. That's something we should say. Thank you, Lord. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm now a servant of righteousness, a servant of God, not a servant of sin. And I will never say out of my lips that as a Christian I am a servant of sin, I'm a sinner. I'm never going to say that, because it's wrong. It's not a biblical doctrine. So we should make a commitment never to let that be in our lips ever again. The believer has to be responsible before God to walk by faith, not by sight, to walk in love, because faith worketh by love, to be a person that loves God with all their heart, loves their neighbour as themselves. So we must be people that are walking in that righteous way of God. You see, the righteous have authority with God. The righteous have authority with God, and there's an establishment we can have in righteousness. And it's only through what we have through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have that establishment in our lives, so that we reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Have a look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. There's a few words in here which are very important for us to take hold of, and we can put into our hearts and mouths. Isaiah 54. Because we have a new nature now. Not that old nature, not that old sin nature, but a new nature, a pure nature. And Isaiah 54, we'll look at verses 14 and 15 of Isaiah 54, 14 and 15. Notice what it says right at the beginning here. How can you walk in victory unless you see yourself as righteous in Christ? You're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to. How can you walk in holiness, in faith? The doctrine of you being a sinner and a Christian at the same time is going to undermine all of that. It's not good. That's what it says in verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Isn't that interesting? Well, where's that righteousness coming from? Well, it can't be coming from your own righteousness outside of God, can it? Because that's filthy rags. How can you be established in that? It has to be in God's righteousness that's been imputed to you and me through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made righteous, as the Bible says, in him. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Notice then, there's a colon. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Isn't that wonderful? That is a place of victory. A place of victory. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. And from terror. We hear a lot about terror and terrorism, don't we, across the earth? Here's a promise we can take hold of. We'll be far from terror. For it shall not come near thee. Now, a lot of protection is all about being in the right place at the right time. Missing an accident by 15 or 5 minutes or even 1 minute. It's being at the right place at the right time. Not waiting to be in the middle of an accident or something of trouble and having to be delivered. I'm not saying you can't be, but certainly you want the leading of the Lord in your life. And you want the establishment of righteousness in your life, because all of this is going to help you to walk in this freedom from oppression, freedom from fear, freedom from terror. Verse 15, behold, they shall surely gather together. So the devil is not inactive. Let's realize this. They shall surely gather together, but not by me. That's the enemy, isn't it? Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall, what? Fall for thy sake. Okay. Then if you go down to verse 17, this is a wonderful script you can take hold of. I confess it every day. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Now notice what it says in this last part. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Let's see the significance of this. What is your heritage as a servant of the Lord? That no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That every tongue that rises against you in judgment is condemned. And notice, the righteousness you're trusting in is of me, saith the Lord. It's of the Lord Jesus Christ for the New Testament believer. So what we see here is that you cannot walk in victory properly if you see yourself as an unrighteous, failing sinner. You cannot do that. It's not possible. It's just not possible. And I'll just finish with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. So if you are righteous in Christ, then you also have authority on earth and power with God. God's word has not changed, and its authority and power is for us, the Christian, to use as well. You see, as a sinner, you don't have the right to use the word of God as the sword of the Spirit, do you? You just don't have that right. You're not in the family of God. You're not in the kingdom of God. You're not established in righteousness. You're not a servant of righteousness. You're outside of the will of God. The Bible says you're without a covenant. So, in Christ, what do you have? You have victory. You have righteousness. You have everything that's provided by the Lord Jesus Christ for you to be equipped, for you to be able to walk in victory as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 1 to 5. Now please understand tonight that there is an insidious doctrine out there, even amongst churches, where they're saying that Christians are still sinners. There's even whole denominations saying that. And it's just plain wrong. It's not biblical. And will never lead to victory. People thinking that way. And certainly won't lead to what God wants for the whole of Australia, for example, which is for it to be converted to Christ. So, 2 Timothy 2, starting from verse 1, going down to verse 5, says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You're not trusting in yourself. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's important, isn't it? Teach others so then they can teach other people. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No person that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned, except he strive lawfully, that is, in God's will. Okay, so that's the way God wants us to walk in this world. The Bible talks about the armour of righteousness. We won't turn to it, but that's in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7. So we have armour as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's called the armour of righteousness, given to us by God himself, so that we can be good soldiers of Jesus Christ in the midst of a world of sin. We read before, oppression, fear, terror. Even in the midst of that, we can walk as righteous soldiers of Jesus Christ, wearing the armour of righteousness, serving righteousness and sowing righteousness, acknowledging that our righteousness came through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done and given, not through ourselves. And we love him and we stand in him. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making us righteous by what the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for and done for us. He was made sin for us. He became a curse for us, Lord. Oh, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for that. Father, I pray that it be impacted upon every one of our hearts just how important this is, and that we see ourselves as righteous men and women that can walk in this evil world but endure hardness, be able to stand for God because we're servants of righteousness. We have a heritage. Thank you, Lord. Help every person here, every person connected with this church, and people listening to this and heeding this. Help us, Lord, to be people that go forward and grow in the knowledge of God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. God is good.